This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
I don't know, maybe Stacy told his wife, "Hey, I'm gonna go down to the hardware store. I'll be back." And then
don't wait up.
She was, you know, cleaning the house, and then all of a sudden she saw the news. She's like, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me." And she called Stacy. "Stacy, get your butt home. What are you doing?" It would be one thing if Zeke Elliott didn't have the start that he's had in the NFL with off the field issues. Mm. Now, I know he was
not proven
accused. He was accused, and authorities there in Ohio decided not to pursue the case. But there's no doubt that Ezekiel has displayed poor judgment, whether it was pulling down a lady's top in a public place, in a parade-type setting, to right before a Dallas Cowboy preseason game, deciding to go to a weed shop when they was in Seattle. Dude, you play football in a couple hours. What are you doing? Like, you don't need – it's just not smart. So, Zeke has already proven – that he has issues with decision making. If you're Stacy, why would you put your son in that light? Why would you go down there? Let the 14-day investigation take place.
These whole 14 days.
Let that play out first. You just. I'm not going to sit here and say Urban Meyer is guilty and say he needs to be fired. I'm not going to say that right now. It looks bad. He has a lot to prove that he didn't know. But if you're Stacy Elliott, just not smart. Okay, moving on. Let me get to Turkey Man on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Turkey Man, good morning. Turkey Man, you there?
Good morning.
Hey, individual.
There it is.
Good morning, individuals.
Good morning.
I you got a lot of good topics going on there this morning, from shoes and footwear to over in Buckeye Nation and their signs and acting like they're trying to be Penn State, to maybe not as bad as Penn State was, but
it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It is. And then you have a good touchdown turnover about, you know, I'm all about winning, and I'm you know, if it turned Saban upside down for Hurt to come here, I'd just be all about it. But I was wondering, where would he, I mean, for his future, where in what position and what direction would be the best for the young man as far as him being successful in the league? Because I don't know if he can.
Jalen?
Yes, sir.
It won't be quarterback.
Yeah, no, it won't. He's a league quarterback.
And that was my point. But what direction would he be better off for himself? Because I heard when he first started, I heard Saban say something along the lines that he didn't want to make him one-dimensional, and Hurts didn't want to, you know, just be known as a running quarterback, which that's what's turned out to be. We're just as a player and evaluate talent and just looking at that, what would you, in your mind, would be the best move for him? Position changing, what position? What do you think that he would play in the league? He has enough talent, I think, to play in the league, but not at quarterback. And that was my question.
Yeah, I don't know, Turkey Man, because, you know, and thanks for the phone call. You know,
Braxton, all right, brother, have a good.
Thank you, man. You know, Braxton Miller at Ohio State was very shifty, and so that move to wide receiver was pretty easy for him. Where I don't know if Hurts is athletic is Braxton Miller. You know, I look at Terrell Pryor when he made the move to wide receiver. I mean, he's, you know, 6'4", big body, and he can get away with not being a great route runner. And Terrell Pryor has done a really good job for himself, you know, being a playmaker for the Browns and then getting himself another contract with the Washington Redskins. But let's sit down and talk about this, whole deal, because I think we think there's only one way to win. And I don't know if it's because of Peyton Manning that has done this to us, but we have this view of what a winning quarterback in college is supposed to look like. And some of us think that it has to be a throwing quarterback. This is how you are successful in college. And I'm sorry, we don't play in the AFC South. We play in the SEC. We play in college. And there has been examples of guys who have not thrown the ball very well, but they've won. Tim Tebow at Florida could not throw. Could not throw in the league. That's why he didn't spend a lot of time in the league. But he didn't have any problem winning, because when he goes back to pass, you still have to respect him throwing the ball. You still have to. And those running lanes are open. He can run and pick up a first down. Tim Tebow was probably one of the worst passers we've seen in a very long time, but he won. Vince Young couldn't throw, but he won. You don't have to be a great passing quarterback from the pocket to win at the college level. And a lot has to happen before we really, really get serious about Jalen Hurts. The only reason I brought it up is because Brandon Kennedy is here. And Jalen Hurts is upset. And there's a lot of Alabama people here in Knoxville. That's the only reason I brought it up. I would not have brought it up if it was a 0% possibility.
You brought it up as a touchdown turnover, not just as like a hey. Yeah,
but I'm not saying it couldn't happen. Guys, Nick Marshall played for a national championship at Auburn and was right there. Auburn had no business even playing in a national championship. Nick Marshall couldn't. He threw worse than Tebow and Vince Young. But Auburn dominated because you couldn't stop him running the football. Now, I saw a point here on the text box that said no to Jalen Hurts because the offensive line can't block for him. Now, wait a minute. If I'm not mistaken, Josh Dobbs, because of his legs, helped an offensive line that wasn't good enough. You need a better offensive line when you have a quarterback that's a statue. You don't need a great offensive line when you have a guy that is mobile like a Dobbs, like a Jalen Hurts.
That's your preference.
The windows are a lot larger in college. So you can get away with being a tad bit off in college. Here's another point. I didn't hear a lot of criticism about Jalen Hurts throwing the football until Nick Saban decided to, right before they played for the national championship game, change his offensive coordinator. The same offensive coordinator that worked with Jalen Hurts all freaking year. They brought in Steve Sarkisian, who was an analyst, and made him the offensive coordinator and allowed him to call plays in the national championship game. And then the year after that, they brought in some Brian Daboll from the Patriots, who was a tight end coach, who came in, and he didn't know how to use Jalen Hurts. You can win in college at the highest level with the quarterback that is not as accurate as a Baker Mayfield or Peyton Manning. You can win. Can you win at the pro level? No, you can't. You can't win at a high level at the pro level if you cannot have a throwing quarterback. But this thought that you cannot win with a guy like Jalen Hurts is just crazy. And keep in mind, I would prefer a passing quarterback. I want my catches. I want my yards. I want my touchdowns. I want my stuff. I'm a wide receiver. I'm a diva. I want the ball.
But you can win with either one.
But you can win, guys. Don't try to talk yourself out of you know, taking a guy like a Hurts who can help you win at this level. You're getting one-on-one coverage. I remember Nick Marshall throwing some bombs on us in 2013 when they came here. It was probably one of the saddest moments of watching Tennessee play because we had no chance. It was a clinic, that 13 Auburn game. Nick Marshall was throwing bombs. It was not many windows. You don't play zone against a 2013 Auburn. You play man. You put guys in a box because you're so afraid of the running game. And what happens, you get one-on-one coverage on the outside, and you throw it deep, you run quick slants, and then you take it to the house. And that what Auburn was doing. I don't want Jalen Hurts if Jerry Guantano takes over. I don't. But if there's a mess, if there's a mess at the quarterback position next year, you hire Jeremy Pruitt to win. You didn't hire Jeremy Pruitt to go, well, let's develop these quarterbacks. We're going to need another year, folks, you know, because we don't want to make anyone upset. You hired Jeremy Pruitt to win. And as long as he is not, you know, getting in trouble by the NCAA and he is acting appropriately and not, you know, embarrassing the program, you pay him to win. And I don't care if he got to bring in Jalen Hurts. I don't care if he had to bring in Big Hurt, Frank Thomas from the Chicago White Sox.
We can interrupt
him during those Neutrogenic commercials, and bring him in here and play quarterback if we need to. I don't care who is playing quarterback, as long as Tennessee at the end of most of their games have more points than the opponent. And so we'll move on. Rachel Barbeau is going to join us here at the bottom of the hour at 9:30. Derek Dooley has some, I guess you can call it a compliment about his time here at Tennessee and how his time in Tennessee maybe prepared him for his opportunity now at Missouri. So 865-255-03. Hour 3, powered by Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Stay with us.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerry Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerry Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castile and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles. Plus 30 years of experience in Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
Get ready for a better school year by shopping the back-to-school sale at Better Mattress happening now. Whether you're a parent or a student, you know a good night's sleep makes a difference in your day. Whether it's the patience to sit in school traffic or the concentration you need to pass your test, a better night's sleep is super important for the whole household. Right now, choose a twin, full, or queen bundle deal, all starting at just $379. The back-to-school bundle deal from Better Mattress is everything you need in one stop for a better night's sleep. Get a mattress, box spring, frame, sheets, and a memory foam pillow, all delivered for free, starting at just $379. You choose the size twin, full, or queen, the price stays the same. We know one size doesn't fit all. Over a dozen different mattresses qualify for this offer. Have a better school year this year. Get the Better Mattress back-to-school bundle deal while supplies last. Tell them Seth sent you and ask to try my mattress. Don't wait. Shop now. Chat live with a representative at bedrmattress.com. Good night just got better.
Gentlemen, get back in the game. Did you know that one out of every three men over 40 may have low testosterone? Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. Do you know your numbers? Well, I know my numbers. Low T Center made it quick and easy. I walked in, I took a simple blood test, and I knew my results in about 20 minutes. Their service is even covered by most health insurance. So give them a call, 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388, or go to lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
To the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline here, Hour 3, powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Rod, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jason. How are y'all doing?
Man, I'm wonderful, man. How are you, sir?
I'm surviving, my friend. I just going to follow up on what you said about Tim Tebow. It's kind of funny about the Titans, the Houston Oilers, and then the Titans organization. The way, you know, they made Steve McNair, Warren Moon, and Vince Young, who were running quarterbacks, and try to make them pocket passers. And you see what happened in the end. Y'all have a blessed day. I'll talk to y'all later.
Hey, thank you. I will say,
Steve McNair is one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history.
Yeah, I will say.
No one understand that shot, but Vince Young, I understand.
Well, Vince Young, I understand, but Warren Moon and Steve McNair were
both
damn,
awesome.
Damn good passers, man. Warren Moon had so many passing records before he really got to the NFL, because he got a lot of those in the CFL. And then Steve McNair was co-MVP with Peyton, I want to say, in 2004, if I'm not mistaken. So, but, yeah, Vince Young, you can't have a quarterback who can't throw at the NFL level. You can win with a quarterback who's not as accurate as you would like for him to be in college. You can win. You don't get extra points for style. Whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins the game. We are in the winning game business. And so let's not get caught up in, well, I only want a quarterback that can throw from the pocket. Yeah, that's ideal. Ideally, I would want that. Ideally, I want a quarterback that can make all the throws from the pocket. I want to recruit the best receivers. I want to recruit the best linemen. You know, I don't want to play some rinky-dink spread offense, flash in the pan. I want to play a style of offense that is multiple. We can do anything. If you want to line up and smash you in the mouth, we can do that with a tight end or fullback. If you want to spread you out because we have wide receivers and, the defense is – third and fourth corner are butt booty terrible. Okay, we want to go four wides this week. We want to match up our second or third best receiver against their second or third best DB, and we want to throw the ball all over the yard this game. I want to be able to do that too.
Winners get to do what they want.
Damn right. We can do what we want to do. I want to do it all. But let's not get caught up in saying, I don't want a guy like Jalen Hurts. Psh, please. Please.
Incredible talent.
Just want a guy that can win.
Because didn't we do the same thing with Josh Dobbs? Didn't people do the same thing with Dobbs? Because he wasn't winning the way that, you wanted him to win. He wasn't throwing the ball 70% from the pocket. He wasn't throwing, dimes there in 2014 and 15. And then it really took for him to leave. It took 16 for folks to really understand how much – was on his shoulders and how much it took for him to be successful for the team to be successful. I don't want that. I don't want a guy that has the success of the offense entirely on his shoulders. Yeah, you're going to be a big part of it. It's you. You get the football. You're the quarterback. But if Dobbs didn't have 100-yard rushing and 200, 300 yards passing, Tennessee could lose that game. I don't want to put that pressure on a quarterback.
Not in that system we were playing before. Go ahead, Brett.
Has Terrell Pryor, in your opinion, affected, not necessarily for the better, but more detrimental impact for mobile quarterbacks, dual-threat quarterbacks coming out of college who, in their mind and maybe in some college coaches' minds, have the talent to be an NFL quarterback, but because of some of the success, some of the flashes we've seen from Terrell Pryor, and now as Braxton Miller starts to crack into that number three, number four wide receiver spot for the Houston Texans, are they setting a almost unattainable example for some of these dual threat quarterbacks coming out of college because of their unique athletic ability? Because we all know whether you can have the straight line speed or not, Josh Dobbs can't – we don't think Josh Dobbs can go out and play wide receiver in the league right now. It's not that type of speed. The straight line speed, he's got it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have that quick twitch, the athletic ability, and the agility to be an integral route runner in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is it kind of an unfair standard that we've kind of set here?
Yeah, Terrell Pryor's, you know, he's all at 6'4", maybe even 6', you know, 6'5". And Terrell Pryor was a Tennessee lock, but David Cutcliffe was offense coordinator. And when Coach Cut went to Duke, Terrell opened up his recruitment and went to Ohio State. But it's hard to compare people to Terrell Pryor because he's so big now. Braxton, he was able to make that move because he is quick twitch. He is a guy that has great hips and he can change directions, stop on a dime. I think that spin move against Virginia Tech, that spin move, that is an illustration of how elusive Braxton Miller really, really is. But
because I feel like if there's ever a question, if there's ever a doubt heading into, you know, those spring months where you're getting ready for the draft and the combine and all of that, if there's even a question in their arm talent, and this is a dual threat quarterback name X coming out of college, they're going to see if they are willing to run some wide receiver drills.
Well, I remember. Well, I remember in 2006, Brad, we went up against, you know, Chris Leak, and you know, we knew Chris Leak. We know he wasn't mobile. He's a pocket passer. And on third and short, they brought this freshman in. It's a changeup. And that freshman was Tim Tebow. And they used two quarterbacks that year, and they won a national championship. And so you can use two quarterbacks. It's okay to have a different type of quarterback on your roster. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I mean, it's okay. And again, I'm a wide receiver, and I'm telling you, you can win in college with a quarterback that is not Peyton Manning type or Andrew Luck type.
Just projecting to the future, I think the conversation Turkey Man was kind of leading to as what position would Jalen Hurts, you know, project to. Yeah, that's why I brought up the conversation.
I don't know.
Has Terrell Pryor and Braxton Miller start to set an unfair, unattainable example? Because, I mean, we even got it last draft with my team, Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson was asked, a Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback, was asked to run wide receiver drills because a lot of teams, a handful even, five or six, were not going to take him as a quarterback, only a wide receiver.
But he could have done it, though, because
– He could have.
Yeah, he has the ability to do that. He could have done it. I'm going to move on a little bit because we're going to have Rachel on here in a few minutes, and then we're not going to have a lot of time to really discuss anything else. But right quick, Derek Dooley, offense coordinator in Missouri, he talked about how Tennessee gave him his biggest gift you can give anybody, besides the buyout, because, you know, the buyout's nice. I'm pretty sure Dooley appreciate that buyout, which was $5 million at the time. But he says, quote, more than anything, it was just really healthy for me to be humbled. So Dooley was humbled here at Tennessee, failing, going to Dallas, being fired again, and now being an offense coordinator at Missouri. So I thought that was noteworthy because sometimes we always can, you know, we can feel ourselves too much, and it takes for us to be humbled, for us to really understand our blessings and not take them for granted.
And couldn't he have just gone and gotten humbled at, like, Florida? Would that have been too much to ask?
Hey,
come on, Derek.
It's not his fault. He was hired.
There's still, I don't know. Dooley, I just think perpetually he'll just always rub me the wrong way, because he, even in that same block of quotes. I think he just...
They call Rommel. They can't find Rommel.
He spoke to the media at Missouri, and there was this quote. The difference was, and speaking of Tennessee, the difference was at Louisiana Tech, everybody listened to me and did what I said. At Tennessee, very few people listened to me. Don't make excuses like that.
The difference, like, what success was he alluding to at Louisiana Tech?
You had a losing record there.
You were 4-8.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can understand going to Louisiana Tech and going, yo, I was with Nick Saban at LSU. Listen to me.
Okay, Vince is my daddy.
You are at La Tech, and then you have the last name Dooley. You're at La Tech. Of course they're going to listen to you. But you come to Tennessee, you got to prove yourself. Game recognized game. I'm sorry. You got guys over there that's been there when Coach Fulmer was here, that Johnny Majors was here. They know a fraud when they see one. And so that's why he wasn't able to push people around the way he did at La Tech, because people knew what it was supposed to look like. Kind of the same thing with Butch. It's like, okay, we know what it's supposed to look like, and it's not supposed to look like this. And people started to kind of catch on to what could potentially happen at Tennessee if things didn't get better, and then it did. It was a slow train wreck, and it finally crashed last year. Rachel Barbeau was in town yesterday, and she spoke to the Tennessee football team, and she's going to join us next to maybe share with us her message and how the players responded yesterday. The players had the day off on the football field, but it was still a day of development, and they develop as young men because Rachel Barbeau, her initiative changing the narrative is really sweeping college football, and Tennessee had her on campus yesterday. So we'll talk to Rachel Barbeau coming up after the break.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799. We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
Big Orange football is better alongside another Tennessee tradition, Mrs. Grissom's salad. Mrs. Grissom's ready-made snacks and meals are perfect for game day. Crowd favorites like the select pimento cheese and cranberry pecan chicken salad are delicious and easy to grab and go right from the grocery store. Going to the game? Visit Mrs. Grissom's in Vol Village for the must-have panini grilled pimento cheese hot dog. Man, select the best. Select Tennessee's own Mrs. Grissom's.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Hour 3 brought to you by Low T Center, LowTCenter.com. Now joining us on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline, Rachel Barbeau. She is a host of ESPNU there, SiriusXM Radio, also does work for Gridiron Now. And her initiative, Changing the Narrative, I think it is the most important thing in college football right now as she goes around and help young men realize that they are kings, that they are gifted. They have an awesome platform, and they're more than just football players. And
yeah.
Rachel, good morning, my friend.
I'm on cloud nine this morning, my friend. I drove back from Knoxville last night because I'm not too far away. I'm in Nashville and just did some thinking. And I was telling my boyfriend last night when I was driving, I just said, I'm spent in the best possible way. I said, this is how you feel when, and I told the guys when I was there, I said, this is how you feel when you kind of, when you rip your chest open and you pour your heart and soul out to somebody, to a group of people, and you leave your guts on a meeting room floor. And that's what happened last night with Tennessee football. And man, did they respond. I mean, it was just really nothing short of miraculous what happened last night.
Well, Rachel, my first question to you today, and I know how emotional it was for you, but I got to start the interview off a little bit on a laughing note. When you first sat down with Jeremy Pruitt, did you say this?
You going to eat your cornbread.
Did you say that?
There's no cornbread mentioned.
No,
not cornbread. But you know what I did realize? I was like, I was driving up from Birmingham, and I realized, I didn't get a lift in yesterday, and I was looking at that facility, and I was like, look at this. I was like, my God. And I've been all around the country, and I said it last night in my talk. I was like, this facility, your wares here are up there with Oregon. I mean, they are, and I'm just being flat honest here. Oregon is phenomenal. Oregon, has Ferrari leather on the seats and those things. But what the compound and what you've got going on there at Tennessee football is pretty special. And so I'm going to be coming back. And so next time I've talked to the nutrition, the dietitian gal, she's wonderful. She gave me some bars before I walked in because I didn't have time to eat. So next time I'm going to come early, get a lift in. They're going to feed me. I'm going to be ready to talk again. But I was super impressed with the facilities there at Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Really, really proud of the facilities. I know our fan base is really proud. And our coach staff, they do a really good job using facilities in recruiting.
Yep.
What was the goal? What was the message? What did you kind of want to go in this opportunity, this 45-hour long talk with the fellows? What was kind of the game plan? 45 minutes. What was the game plan? What was some ideas, talking points that you want to make sure you touch on?
Let me tell you something, Jason. If we went 45 hours, man.
Did I say 45 hours?
Yeah.
45 minutes. Sorry about that.
No, it's good. Good, I'm thinking.
My bad.
We really would have walked out of this thing together, or they would have hated me. Not just kidding.
Yeah, 45 minutes, not 45 hours.
So, yeah, it was more like the presentation, and I've tried to squish it before, but it was more like 55 minutes. So what happened is, for your listeners to understand, the first time we hit on so many topics, okay? Because for some of these schools, you know, I get one shot, right? And they're interested in having more of a speaker and then kind of see you. And then some schools like Tennessee are interested in having me back, part of the program, come speak to other sports, come back to us, you know, be a fixture around here. And that was what was told to me yesterday. So the first time, we're talking about a bevy of topics. We're talking about purpose, passion, platform. We're talking about, and some of the things that I've incorporated into this talk after being across the country and talking to other guys. And one of them is mental health. You know, one of my players, my Kings, at another school did a players-only meeting and had everybody close their eyes. And he asked who here suffered from severe depression, and like half the room raised their hand. And Jason, he said, who here has thought about killing themselves? And 11 people raised their hands, okay? So in this first talk, we talk about mental health and where along the way it became unmasculine to say you're struggling. And I stand in front of him, I'm like, baby, let me tell you something. You have never been more strong, never been more attractive, never been more masculine as when you say, I got some stuff I got to deal with. Mm. I got some stuff I got to work out. I need some help. I'm struggling. And so we talk about that. And, you know, one of the other big themes of the talk is you were born to be more, baby. You were born to be more than a football player. And when you figure that out, you're going to be a better football player, a better boyfriend, a better son, a better friend. But football is going to be done with you one day. What are you doing with your life? I want you to have more than just a 9-to-5. And so we do that, and then we get into the dating aspect, and we hit all parts of the dating aspect from, you know, your queen, finding your queen, being the king to that queen, respecting women, protecting women, cherishing them. And then I stuck my finger in their chest a couple of times. Hey, are you man enough to tell him if he's not doing the right thing? Are you man enough to tell him if he's talking crap about women? And you're in front of him, and you're with him, and are you man enough to call him out? And they were like, yes, yes, yes. So there's a lot of things we cover. When I come back, we drill down on certain topics. We'll talk about dating. We'll talk about forgiveness, forgiving the deadbeat dad in your family, or forgiving the parent or somebody who did you wrong. We talk about different topics. But the first one, Jason, is really like trying to squish in a lot of life lessons in the 55 minutes.
What topic do you bring up seems to have the most response? And not just speaking just of Tennessee, but just in general.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that. I would say dating is a big one, you know, being having a queen or, you know, a lot of them say, I have a queen, and I haven't been treating her as such. You know, I've not really been cheating, you know, but I've been taking the text from somebody else. I've been listening. So there's that, the kind of the realization that they have not been kings. But what I'm finding more and more is the forgiveness aspect. Oh man, these men across the country are carrying a lot of bitterness. They're like carrying a lot of anger. They're carrying a lot of, not even just angry, just hurt, because of family members that have hurt them, people that have walked out on them. Moms and dads and sisters and brothers and different people that have hurt them and betrayed them. And I probably yesterday that was, you know, and I would never speak any names or anything, but I would just speak in generalities. But there were a lot of players that talked to me afterwards about how do I forgive? How do I do this? And I told them a story of a player at Auburn, and he's very, very brave. And he messaged me afterwards and said, hey, listen, you know, because of you, I was inspired to call my father. And, you know, my father's never really been in my life for the most part. And I was inspired to pick up the phone and call and tell him I forgave him or I forgive him. And I was like, what? And he said, I feel like a 2-ton weight has been lifted off my chest and I can now be the man that God created me to be. And I said that at the end of the talk yesterday. And so that forgiveness element has been coming up a lot across the country. But particularly, you know, yesterday there were a lot of guys that had things that they wanted to forgive and phone calls that they were going to make. And I said, baby, you know, let me know when you make that phone call. You know, send me a DM. Let me know when you make that phone call. And holding them to it, because when that happens, they will be better students. They will be better friends. They will be better boyfriends and football players. Because when you get rid of that junk that you're holding, and then as men, you guys understand it, as men, there's this man up. we don't need to, you know, you don't cry, suck it up. You know, don't tell anybody your feelings. Certainly you worry about telling coaches your feelings or people your feelings for fear that you'll be benched or that people will see you as weak. And it's really toxic masculinity. And so I encourage them myself, you know, to clear up this stuff, get this funk out, you know, clear the air, tell people you're sorry. Even the people that maybe least deserve your forgiveness, tell them it's okay. Tell them you forgive them. And I just can't wait to see how they walk taller and prouder.
You know, so I think some fans feel that it's all about just football. It's about getting players in here, getting the top players in the country in here, getting them bigger, getting them stronger, rolling a football out there, giving them a helmet, and then they're going to go win games. And what many fail to realize is that this game is 90% mental.
Yep.
It's how you respond. It is, you know, what motivates you, what's your reason why. And if you are broken inside, it's really hard to formulate a reason why, because you don't have anyone that you're willing to sacrifice for, because you're holding all this anger, you're holding all this this pain in, and you don't want to forgive them. This is so important. This is equally as important as the weight room. This is equally important as the training room is emotionally making sure guys are available and making sure they respond, because if they can forgive someone that, you know, maybe hurt them and they holding that in, they could be more responsive to their position coach. Rachel, I don't know if you saw the video with Chris Rump, and he's talking about his role as a coach, that if he only taught them football, then he failed as a coach. He's supposed to teach them how to be a man, how to be a better husband, how to be a father, all those things. How much do you feel like what you're doing helps teams win football games on the field?
Okay, so first of all, I did see that video, and I saw Chris Rump yesterday. I go way back with him, and we hugged and took a picture. And I am an extension. I'm another voice to what the coaches are preaching. Right? Mm-hmm. You got good coaches at a program.
Mm-hmm.
They're preaching, you know, the whole man. They're trying to make sure everything's in order in this man's house so that he can be a good football player. And so I absolutely believe that that if a guy has an unspoken deal with his dad who hasn't been there for him, he clears that up. He's got a clearer head. He can pay attention more in the film room. He's more in his, you know, his playbook. He's there and accountable for his teammates. And then he becomes a better teammate, gets to see the playing field more, and then is a better football player, and you got a better team. I absolutely believe that, 100%. So that's the crux of this. I know for a fact what I'm doing with these players across the country, and the fact that the coaches get it. And I'm going to try not to cry on this one. I had a lot of guys stand in front of me yesterday and say things, but one particular gentleman, we just kind of sat there for a little bit and stared at each other, and I'll never forget his eyes, never forget what he looked like, and he said, Rachel, he said, thank you. He said, thank you for, and he's, you know, he's trying not to cry. And he said, thank you for coming and telling me that I'm more than a football player, that I'm meant for more, because this is what I said to them in the talk. I said, players are telling me across the country, they're dying for people to know who they are besides being a fullback, besides being a defensive back, besides being a quarterback or a lineman. They're dying for people to know what they were created for besides just playing football and how they're going to impact the world. And so he's standing in front of me yesterday. He's about to cry, and it's about to make me cry. And he just said, where I come from, you know, we weren't taught that. Right? Like, where I come from, I wasn't taught my value besides being a football player my whole life. And I'm thinking by his family, by his friends and his community, his whole life, it was ingrained in him that his goodness, his worth was simply football. And I'm so grateful that, you know, my path led me to Tennessee at the time that he was there, that I could hug him and hold him and look in his eyes and tell him, baby, you are meant to be more. Now, is the goal to be a fantastic football player? Absolutely. I'm not taking anything away because I love the game. But the point is you can be more. You can be more than just a football player, and you were created for more than that. So, Jason, man, that interaction yesterday, that couple of minute interaction when we were talking and I hugged him, it's one that will go down just in, for me, I will never, ever, ever forget that interaction.
That's awesome. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We can go back to Tennessee here before we really go, Rachel, but I want to switch gears just because you've been very outspoken about violence against women in sports.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take been on the situation at Ohio State?
I think the victim shaming is pretty the most despicable part of this. I mean, I have seen people retweeting, well, she's a drunk. You don't know that she's a drunk. You don't know that she called, she don't know that she called 911 66 times. I had a guy call into my show the other night. I said, let me ask you, I'm not being a smart aleck. Do you know that? Do you have a record of that? He said, well, no, I don't. I see where you're going with that. Exactly. You don't. You don't know. And it took Courtney Smith's lawyer this morning or last night had to put out a statement talking about victim shaming and clearing the record about what she has or has not been a part of, what she has or has not been accused of. And it's just sickening to me to defend a football coach. My God. And there are those, I was just reading a piece by Paul Feinbaum, there are those that believe that this two-week investigation is set up, that they're just going to try to find a way to keep him, that it's the 14 days that they're going to try to find a way to keep him. And you know, for me, I love this game. I have given my life to this game. But when we start putting football and winning football above human rights, if, and I'm going to say this, if all of this is true, if all the allegations are true and everything holds true, and we start holding, and that's what we've done, that's where we're at as a society, is wins mean more, is money and power means more than the safety of a woman and children. And there's a reason why all this victim shaming, gentlemen, there's a reason why so many women don't come forward. And it's just really sickening to me.
No, it really is, Rachel. And now, Rachel, I saw some pictures from the event there in Tennessee, and I saw that you were rocking some Jordans. My question is, did you buy those from a North Carolina football player during one of your visits up there? did you buy that from North Carolina? Wink two times if it's yes. Wink one time if it's no.
I'm just kidding. No,
I totally kidding.
I mean, oh, I know, right? No, but I tweeted yesterday. I pulled over and tweeted yesterday. I was like, man, it's been a bad offseason for Lair Fedora.
Yeah,
like,
it's been
bad. I don't know how it could get any worse, because I think now the understanding is that those 13 players are going to miss some game time.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that going on. You've got already, you have, I want to say, at least 4 to 6 new coaches, a staff turnover. And as I was talking to somebody the other day about Lair Fedora, I used to be an ACC sideline reporter, guys. And when I was doing that, Larry was the hot guy. Larry was the guy whose name came up in every coaching search. It was the Fed's Fred. And it was at that point in time, back in 2013, 2014, it was the idea was basically that, you know, that he would only be at North Carolina for a little bit before he moved on to a bigger program. And that's not the case anymore. The shine is off Lair Fedora. And I think the comments the summer, media days, I think he had a point, but the way that he presented that point was ill-advised, and then to go back and double down on it, triple down on it, that was bad. And then now this, hate to be in that facility this morning.
Yeah, tough. Rachel, I need you to make me a promise here, okay? Now that, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and company, they have extended the invitation for you to come back and be a part of the family here, and not just speak one time, but come back. And hey, you live in Nashville, so technically, I mean, you are a Tennessean.
Yeah, not too far away.
And I'm gonna feel real bad saying this, but you gotta understand something. We were 4-8 last year, 0-8 in SEC, and I just need my team to win a little bit. If Dana Holgorsen calls you and wants you to come up there and talk to his team, you have to tell him that you're booked up and you can't do it this year.
We will find you work.
Yeah, you can do it next year, okay?
We will find you work.
We don't need those guys to be inspired anymore, okay? We're just trying to win that game, Rachel, all right? So we just need you just to reject Dana Holgorsen if he wants you to come speak to his team. I'm totally kidding. So you had a bunch of players come up to you after the talk? And I mean, you talked 45 minutes, but you probably stayed longer than you actually spoke to the team. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you did mention that you know, someone asked you about forgiving. Last kind of question before we get you out of here. What were some of the other things, without, you know, obviously naming names, what were some of the other things that you heard from our guys that they wanted your help with?
Forgiveness was a big one. Another gentleman told me that he's never expressed things and that he bottles it up. And so then when it does come out, when he does, you know, when it kind of, you know, he I wouldn't say rages, but he's, because he bottles everything up, when it does come out, it doesn't come out the way that he wants to. So he wants to learn how to share things and talk to people. Another guy was telling me, you know, because he's been hurt and because he's been, you know, crapped on and betrayed his whole life, he has a very hard time making friends and he feels very alone on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about a way to work on that. Another gentleman, you know, we were talking about dating and how to approach young ladies when you don't want a relationship. And he goes into it saying, listen, I don't want a relationship. And they call him names for that. And I said, hey, you're actually being a king because you're telling them you don't want a relationship. I said, you need to be careful in multiple ways. And you get what I'm saying there.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need to be careful because there are young women, just like young men out there, that don't want you for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen instances of women that say, hey, you don't give me what I want. You don't get in a relationship with me, I'm going to ruin you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening. And I tell them that. That's the thing. I think one of the reasons these coaches love me and these players is that I fight for these players. I do not come in and preach at them. I'm speaking their language. And one of the things that I talk to them about is, baby, the right woman is going to love you for you.
Mm.
The right woman don't care about no steak dinner. The right woman doesn't care about where you can go and take her, what pictures you can tag her in. And who,
amen,
you know,
to that.
The right woman will love you if you buy a $2 box of macaroni and cheese and a candle from the dollar store and you put it on your kitchen table and make her a dinner.
Preach.
The right woman will love that. And I'm like, and I said, guys, I call them babies, you know, they're like my, you know, little brothers. I feel like I'm like an aunt, you know, that type of thing. And I'm like, babies, I'm like, you know, you keep messing with the wrong woman too many times and you will get burnt. And they're like, ooh, you know, but it's true. And
it is.
So we talk a lot about that. And so I had a guy talk to me, you know, about relationships. And then another guy, you know, got 3-year, you know, anniversary coming up. He wanted to have some ideas about how to treat his queen. And, you know, guys that were going to go home and knew that they were dating a queen, but were going to go home and tell them. Guys that were going to go home and tell their parents. Ask, you know, for forgiveness. I mean,
wow.
4 or 5 guys. I'm going to go home. There's phone call. I need to make forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. And I think one that will forever stay with me was a gentleman that was suffering from depression and was going to kill himself on his birthday.
Wow.
And he decided not to, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, you are a treasure, Rachel. And
Rachel, thank you so much for the impact you're making all across the country.
Yeah, we had a tweet here for someone that said, you know, you're doing the Lord's work, and you know that phrase is always thrown out there, but you truly are, you know, doing the Lord's work, and all this stuff it helps football teams, it helps these teams come together to build relationships that are very tight inside the locker room. And
yeah.
I remember Mike Singletary coming and speaking to us. And, you know, Mike was a, you know, Hall of Fame player for the Chicago Bears, Super Bowl champion, went on to coach in the NFL for the 49ers, and he came to Tennessee and spoke to us. And I never will forget what he said. And you're going to have the same type of impact. People are going to take what you said and remember it 20, 30, 40 years from now. But I remember Mike Singletary's words, and he said, the team that loves each other and prays together is a team that's going to win.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I truly believe that you're going to help this football team be able to do more of that.
I believe it, too, and I'll say this as we go out, I have chills. But beyond just mending things and fixing things and what do we need to do, the coolest part of what I talk about with them, one of the coolest parts is, what's your purpose, baby? Like, what are you passionate about? Like, what is it that makes your heart beat faster? beyond football? Is it the kids in the neighborhood? Is it old people? Is it homeless? You know, it could be a million different things. What is it? And so I had at least four or five players talk to me yesterday about their passions and how they want to change the world. And one of the parts of my program, the second phase of my program is, when I come back, anybody who has the desire to go into area high schools, to go into their high schools from their hometown or high schools in Knoxville, I teach them the art of public speaking and how to blend changing the narrative tenets, the basic principles of changing the narrative, with their own story. And we get up and they share their story, and I teach them how to do public speaking. And then we work with your high school coordinator there at Tennessee, or I do it on my own. I'm doing my first player's rolling out his program. I'm going with him, a player named Trey Hicks from ECU. We're going to Roswell High in September, and I think my heart may burst out of my chest. I'll be so proud, you know, to see him impacting young people. But really, the one of the next layers of changing the narrative is helping them find what it is that they're passionate about, and going into area high schools, area middle schools, or whatever that may be, helping them develop those programs so that they can make an impact and we can add to that walls in the community wall in that beautiful facility you have.
I like it. I like it. I can't wait to have you back here in Knoxville, Rachel, and glad that you made it safely home. I know it was a late drive for you, and really appreciate you getting up early Central Time and joining us here on the show and sharing what you could about how you were able to impact our young men. And I think we're going to see it on the football field this year, and we'll owe a lot to you. So thank you so much, Rachel, for your time. Really, really appreciate it. And we will talk very soon.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Rachel Barbeau, ESPNU, SiriusXM radio host, and she does some work for Gridiron Now. Her initiative, Changing the Narrative. She's a founder.
I'm changing the narrative. .org if you want to see more about everything she does.
I can't wait to follow that more.
She's too good.
I've had them for the last 20 minutes because of the words Rachel was preaching on this station. Incredible stuff. If you didn't catch all of that interview, make sure to go back and listen to all of it.
I'll share this with you. The conversations that you know, she's having with players, when you have 85 guys, 100 guys on a football team, you know, you develop relationships. And, you know, you learn about some of these things about your teammates. And so we used to talk about some of these things. Like, hey, man, this is how I grew up. This is what I'm going through. And it's good that you have someone, a third party, that can come in and basically validate everything that your coaches and people that you see every single day is telling you. Sometimes you need to hear from a different person, a different voice. And Rachel could be that voice. And I'm kind of joking, but kind of serious about her not working West Virginia this year.
At least not till after.
Don't do
after
it
the first.
Yeah, if you don't have to, just, you know, just don't.
Golly, I sound so bad. I'm desperate, though. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win. Not desperate like Ohio State, though. Thank you, Rachel, for joining the show today. Thank you for listening. Swain Events, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Hour 3, powered by Low T Center. For Brad Matthews, Charlie Burris.